Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the regular meeting, Thursday, December 3rd, 2015, of the Harbor Advisory Board. Welcome everyone and fellow board members. What I'd like to do here first is establish a quorum, which we do have. Everyone is present. And I'd like to ask for a moment of silence right now. And then, Ron, if you could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, I'd appreciate it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. So this is a time that we go down the aisle here and to see if there's any announcements or presentations by any of our members. Gene?
None.
Alan?
None.
Lynn?
Should I talk about the
Oak House
Committee?
Not right now. No.
Well, we can't.
It's not an agenda. That's the problem. Yeah. Yes, you can.
If it's okay. On behalf of the Eelgrass Committee, which we formed on our last meeting, I'd just like to say that the three members of the committee, myself, Neil, and Jean, met and had a brief meeting to organize and discuss how to move forward on this project.
Okay.
And that in our next meeting, we should have something a bit more substantive to report.
Well, what we're going to do is, under unfinished business, as we do in our couple other subcommittees, have this as a standing report every month. So I do apologize that we didn't have it this time. The announcements that I have is twofold. In the staff report, there is a mention of all the people that donated their time and effort and money to our drive-in movie at The Rock. Tremendous success. We dodged the bullet. The night before, it was so windy. The day after, it rained. But Friday night, about 5 o'clock, somehow or other, Myers Excavating got the screen to hold up, and we showed our movies. We have our second annual drive-in movie night, November 6th. It's already being scheduled. And this is going to be an annual event, and some people would like to see it twice a year, but I think that let's see if we can put on a really, really good one on November 6, 2016 is when we are planning on having the next one, which brings up on January 19th, and this we'll all announce it before, we're going to have a general membership meeting of the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department to discuss what we accomplished this year, what we hope to accomplish, and to see if we can get some more members to participate and volunteer in some of our activities. So at that point in time, we'll have a report, and I'll share it with the rest of the board members here and the public of what we were able to do for the Harbor Department and what we were able to purchase, which actually we're in the process right now of purchasing two longboards for the junior lifeguard program and also a beach wheelchair. And myself and Becca just met this morning. We have the money to do it. Was the success of the drive-in movie was beyond my comprehension. So thank you, public, and look for what we're going to do next year. So thank you. So that's all I have. Neil?
Morro Bay Oyster Company, we're working at spearheading a monthly bay cleanup. Currently, we do it privately through as a company. We do a cleanup from the Elephant Forest up to about First Street, and we're looking to expand that. We've spoken with the National Estuary Program and SWAP, which is a small wilderness area preservation group out of Los Osos, and we're going to set up a quarterly meeting for a large bay cleanup, and then monthly, as our company goes out and does its what we call patrols, we'll be posting a notification. If volunteers want to join, they're more than welcome to, and we will use our own boats and dispose of the trash accordingly. So just want to put that out there that we'll give more information as we get closer to those dates. And I had a question about the wheelchairs. The beach wheelchair, is that for, it's not just for transport, is that for rescue? That's for use if somebody wants to?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
We have one right now currently at the Harbor Department, and it's very well used, and hopefully we'll be able to broadcast it more with two of them.
Great.
I had a question, Neil.
Yeah.
Is that above the surface and below the surface cleanup, or just above the surface?
So we typically go at high tide, and we take items out that are submerged in the mud. There's a bunk bed that we can't get out that we have to go jet out. So it's half under mud and half out of the water. We have stuff that we'll walk up to kind of the edge of people's property lines and take trash, whether it's derelict gear from our oyster farm or our last collection. We got propane tanks, tires, plastic bottles, bags, everything that comes up. And volunteers, what we'll be doing is kind of dropping people off on, say, the sand spit and say, okay, go 100 yards that way and 100 yards that way, and then they'll pile the trash up, and we'll bring our boat back to those targeted areas, collect it all in our boats, and dispose of it. So whatever you can reach. At this point, we don't have any divers, but if somebody wants to get creative and do some diving, I'm not sure what that would entail, but I know there's already a group who's done some pretty substantial trash collection, and we're for all of it. I just don't have the resources right now to go diving. So,
what is that again?
It'll be monthly, and we're still in the formulation of, we were waiting for the new tide books actually to come out for 2016, and so now that they're out, we'll be starting to put together a calendar, and we'll probably make, I'll make some more notifications in the next meeting. I got the tide book, so, okay, that's it for me.
Okay, thanks, Neil. That's good news. Public, help Neil clean up the bay. Dana?
Yes, I have, this is a tide calendar. All these photographs on it are local photographs by local photographers. And this tide calendar shows the tides. Maybe you can see this. Shows a graph form so that you can see the days where it's really radical and where it's not so bad. So we use this all the time when we put our races together. But this is a fundraiser for the Morro Bay Youth Sailing Foundation. You can go to mbysf.org, or you can talk to me, and I'll get you a copy. They're $20, some beautiful photographs. Like this, these are all local photographers. And I think Neil should buy one of these.
I'll take two.
Here's another one. He could hang it up in his office. You know, pictures of all these local events that go on here.
Thanks, Dana.
Here you go.
Thanks.
So do you, if someone needs to get a hold of it, can they purchase it on your website?
They can. We have a PayPal account there, so they can just do that, and we'll get the calendar to them.
Okay.
We're doing pretty good on sales, so I don't know how long these will be last.
Okay, first come, first serve.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty much. Or
all
they
right.
can just
So if you'd like a calendar and support the Morro Bay Youth Sailing, go to the website. And that website again, Dana?
That is mbysf.org.
Thank you. Ron?
I applaud the Morro Bay Oyster Company and its cleanup concepts. You might want to be aware that for the last 15 or so years, the Morro Bay Beautiful has been doing a spit cleanup, and I'm sure that organization would be delighted to organize with you. And folks do need to be aware that in certain months of the year, the plover fences go up. I don't think that should deal with your high tide problem, the beach problem, but something to be aware of. So I would encourage you to contact the president of the Morro Bay Beautiful.
And who is that, Ron?
That's Ann Reisner. So, secondly, on Thursday, December 10, between 6 and 8 p.m. in this facility, the Vets Hall, There's going to be a public information session presented by Trident Winds relative to their proposed Morro Bay offshore wind project. I have the announcements. I'm not involved in that, but I saw the announcement, and I believe it's an information session relative to what they have in mind. And finally, the last regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board, there was a ad hoc committee formed relative to the Marine Sanctuary Act. That is its intent, its mission is informational only. The committee is intended to educate itself regarding the Marine Sanctuary Act and hence help the Harbor Advisory Board become educated and also help to inform the city relative to the various provisions of the Act that have potential impact for Morro Bay if a local marine sanctuary was to be created. And when I say impacts, not talking about negative or positive, I'm just talking about impacts. This is not an advocacy group. I want to make very clear that it's not an advocacy group. There's already a little misunderstanding about that in the public. It's an educational activity purely. During its first meeting, the committee confirmed its initial mission, that is to educate itself, as I just said, on the Harbor Advisory Board and the City Council regarding the Federal Marine Sanctuaries Act, as it relates to a hypothetical marine sanctuary off the coast of Morro Bay. The committee identified that points of particular interest are potential impacts on commercial and sport fishing activities, potential local economic impacts, be they positive or negative, on Morro Bay, potential impacts, be they positive or negative, on agricultural activities in the Morro Bay, Estero Bay region, particulars of local, county, state, and federal control, if a local sanctuary is created under the Act, and other points of interest as they may appear. We agreed that each of the three committee members who are Alan Allward, Bill LaFay, and myself would begin to study the Act, the federal Act, and to identify particular points of interest to each of us so that we could concentrate. This is going to be a fairly significant piece of work, I imagine, and it's going to take a while. So the committee has begun to do that, and it's begun to identify information resources, both local and outside the area.
Thank you, Ron. And as I stated with Lynn, this will be a standing in unfinished business each month now so that we can report to the public what we've come up with. Also, on this note, in Sunday's Telegram Tribune was a good article by Nick Wilson, environmentalist fisherman clash over proposed Shumash Marine Sanctuary. And I sent it to both Alan and Ron, but anyone can go into the telegramtribune.com and take a look at that article and just get a little bit more feel of what is being proposed by the federal government and some of the fishermen's concerns, environmentalists' comments, and so forth. So I just wanted to bring the public and anyone else that would like to read that, go into the telegramtribune.com Sunday's local edition. Okay. Yes.
Ron, what's the date and time on that Trident presentation?
December 3, which is a Thursday.
You said 10th.
10th.
You said 10th.
I'm sorry. I'm reading our own agenda.
Thanks. I need the help.
Thursday, December 10, 6 to 8 p.m., Vets Hall.
Thank you. Okay, this is a time for public comment. If there is anyone in the public here that would like to comment on anything that's not on our agenda, please come up and speak. Yes.
I have by way of the announcement section, I just realized that our city council liaison is with us this evening. Welcome. It's good to see you back. It's good,
yes,
to see
Matt.
You. Good to see you up and around, Matt.
Yeah.
Good to see you with us.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That,
I saw you running the other day, Matt, so I hope things are going well.
It's getting better. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for showing up tonight. Thank you, Ron. That's probably my... okay, so is there anyone that has any public comment that is not on the agenda? Jeremiah, speak your name.
Yeah, good evening. Harbor Advisory Board and city staff. My name is Jeremiah O'Brien, and I just wanted to say thank you very much for all of the work that you've done on so many projects, because we've always enjoyed a really good Harbor Advisory Board through the years, and you guys have taken on a lot of projects, a lot of formidable projects, too. So I just wanted to say thanks very much. And until Matt came in, by the way, remember I represented 100% of the audience today. So anyway, yeah, and I wanted to mention too, Bill, that wife and I did go to the movie, the drive-in thing there. It was terrific. It was everybody I think really enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun. I'm sure
Thank
everybody
you.
There was had a great time, and. And don't forget, too, in the for the sanctuary ad hoc committee there, dredging and maintenance issues were also issues that we want to look into, that I'm sure Ron didn't omit them intentionally, but just there is so many issues to look into, but they are two of the main ones that we're concerned with also, because those are things that are very important to our industry. But again, thanks very much. You guys have just taken on a lot of work.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Appreciate it. Okay. With that in tune, could everyone take a look at the minutes from Thursday, November 5th, 2015? And if anyone has any corrections or... Yes, Gene?
Yeah, and my comments about driving the last pilings for Bob Fowler's project, the work is not completed. It says here that the work is completed, but not quite.
Okay.
That's the only change I'd make.
Okay, Gene. And then Alan?
I noticed that in the minutes for the meeting, it said that they had approved the November 5th minutes, but I think it should say it approved the October meeting's minutes. I guess just a clerical error. And also it mentioned that the wind walker was 54 feet long. It's actually 67 feet long.
Okay. No, point well taken. And the other thing that I've been asked to, when we're approving things, I need to actually call out your name. Polly, you know, is diligently trying to say who... approved something and seconded it, and so I need to state your names, and so that is something that I'll be doing from now on. Thank you. Okay, so with those changes, anything else? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes? Alan?
I motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so I have a motion to approve the minutes from Alan, and a second from Gene. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, minutes pass. And then this we also had our special Harbor Advisory Board meeting, and I want everyone to take a look at that. Those are the 6 points that we kind of set ourselves on, and wanted to make sure that those were done correctly. Do I hear any motion to approve that?
I'll make a motion to approve it.
Okay, Neil, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Dana? So Neil made a motion to approve the special meeting, and Dana seconded it. Any discussion? Hearing none? Oh, Ron?
Do you mean to approve the 6 points?
No, just to approve the minutes of that meeting, which it will... So, hearing no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, the minutes will pass. Now, clarification here to the public, I would like to call out what those strategic goals are. Is that something that I can do, Eric? Paulie?
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of approving the minutes. It's part of the record.
One of the things that we did is we actually held a strategic meeting to try to solidify some goals that we can achieve through this upcoming year. And we actually did a voting mechanism. I'm not exactly sure how it all worked, but we came out with 6 goals, and I'd like to read those off to the public that we'd like to try to tackle this year. The boatyard haul out is number 1. The eelgrass issue is number 2. The dredging of our harbors is number 3. Number 4 would be, there's actually 3, it was a tie between the marine research facility, support the harbor enterprise goals, which is supporting LEAP, the marine sanctuaries. Number 5 would be off-boat fish sales direct to the public, harbor cost allocation budget, and then Measure D. So as Jeremiah mentioned, there is a lot of things going on in the harbor, and so we tried to call out some things so that we can actually have a little bit of a better idea of what's prioritized. So I think it was a worthwhile exercise, and if anyone has any questions, they can actually look in the minutes to see these goals again. So thank you.
I don't know if your mic's on.
Yes, it is.
Okay, sir.
Okay. So now we go to the public hearings, reports, and appearances. The Harbor Department status report. Eric?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I, too, would like to welcome back Councilman Makowski for... He's recovering. Good to see you back, Matt.
Thank you.
Good to see you at the council meeting hopefully next week, right? All right. Get the full dais back up there. So recent department activity. I'll try to be brief so we can get to the meat and potatoes that we're trying to do tonight. Friday, November 6th, the Harbor Patrol and Coast Guard went to a kayaker in distress off Montana de Oro. I believe somebody on land called into the 911 system, and Coast Guard put out a... quick notice to mariners, a pontoon and the local fishing boat Fog Dog picked up a 67-year-old man out of the water who couldn't get back into his kayak. He'd been in the water for probably a couple hours at that point, so it was a good thing that he happened along. Who also happened along was the sheriff and their new high-tech, high-speed law enforcement boat. They're out there doing some training, some area familiarization, and they were nearby in the area. So they went and picked up the victim off the Fog Dog and got him back from Montana de Oro to Morro Bay in about 1.2 minutes in that boat that went about 462 miles per hour. So that was good. He got to the victim got to the hospital, I believe. He was hypothermic. But as far as I can tell, no permanent injuries. So a good save for the whole team there. So that was a good one. On November 8th, the Harbor Patrol transported fire paramedics out to the Fiesta, about 5 miles offshore, to transport a passenger or treat a passenger having heart issues. As is often the case on these types of incidents, either us or the Coast Guard will bring some Morro Bay fire paramedics out with advanced life-saving gear, and we did in this case, and transferred a patrol officer and a paramedic to the Fiesta for care of the patient while the Fiesta came on back. Typically, in those sorts of things, it's not really... prudent to try and transport the victim back off or the patient back off the party boat onto some other boat Sometimes it is, depending on the nature of the case. But for this one, he took the Fiesta all the way back in with advanced care. And so that was another good call there. Saturday, November 14th, the hazardous bar warning went up for the first time this season. Mariners reminded in this day of the internet and phones, there's very few people that have access to, don't have access to good updated weather information, but always be sure to check the conditions and check with the Harbor Patrol or Coast Guard what the local conditions are, because as you know, the swell can come up. I think just this evening, the Coast Guard was putting the hazardous bar warning up with a few things they saw right at dark and the swell coming up overnight, so and wind and a little bit of rain coming, so always check before you go. On Sunday, November 15th, we received a call from a local fisherman, this fellow Jeremiah O'Brien, might have heard of him, reporting a sailboarder in distress inside the harbor and south, next to the south jetty in high wind, I think pretty high wind day. Patrolman responded successfully to that and retrieved him out of the water. His sail, I think, was a lost cause. It's still down there somewhere in J.V. Jones's locker. So we thank Jeremiah and others that are out and about and seeing things and calling them in. And more often than not, it's somebody out there sitting in their car or checking the ocean conditions or eating their lunch that spots something that alerted us to something going wrong. So thank you for that. Harbor Patrol recently obtained and put into service self-contained breathing apparatus, SCBA. That's the basic scuba tank or the air tank that you see on the back of the firemen when they go into fires. We also put fire turnout gear into service as well. Fire department, through one of their grants, were able to equip our Harbor Patrol officers with that gear. This will allow us to go. We have no intentions really to go into burning boats or burning buildings or burning piers. It's to enable us to go into situations alongside the fire department and get the fire department where they need to be, maybe supply water and work in less than ideal atmospheric conditions and be properly protected. So that's what that gear's for. So you may see us training with that and working alongside the fire department a little bit more. In the fishery news, as most of you probably know, the Dungeness crab season has been closed, both commercially and recreationally, for high levels of domoic acid, which is a naturally occurring toxin in plankton, primarily, I think, due to warm water at this point. Usually the Dungeness crab season starts for the sport folks, I think, the beginning of November and maybe a week or two after that for the commercials. But it's been closed up and down the coast. Fish and Game's been testing, taking crab samples. I think some of our local fishermen have been helping them with that. From what I understand, the area is affected from California-Oregon border all the way to Santa Barbara-Ventura County line. Dungeness typically aren't found below that anyhow, so it doesn't affect anybody below the point. But it does affect the rock crab season as well, and that's up and down the coast. From what I understand, our waters have been tested okay, but at least from the commercial standpoint, what I'm hearing is that Fish and Game wants to open the season statewide and not open one spot and open another spot to avoid pressure being put all in one place at one time. And I imagine the market might not like that as well. So that's the situation with the crab season. I've also heard that the governor is or may be preparing to declare a disaster, state disaster for that fishery. Okay, so that may be coming forth as well. So watch for that. Unfortunately, nothing much you can do about it, but wait it out and wait for the water to turn a little bit colder and for that plankton to die off. As far as the season goes, I think we've had a couple, two or three really good years here locally, which is somewhat unusual. We're at the southern end of the Dungeness crab range, so we've enjoyed two or three years of really good seasons here locally. A lot of our boats have been able to stay local, but suspect a lot of them are probably going to end up heading back north where the main bodies of crab are, but we'll see how that plays out, and hopefully that opens up here soon. Upcoming events starting December 2, which already passed through the 7th, Tall Ship Lady Washington and Hawaiian Chieftain will be here for the public, docking again at Marina Square. I think the Lady or Hawaiian, one of them came a day early. I think they came on the 1st. Probably sailed a little quicker than they thought, and they took advantage of coming on in. So they'll be here, so watch for those boats. Take some dockside tours, and you can probably sign up to take some trips with them as well over the weekend, depending on what the weather's doing and what the swells are doing out here this weekend. Saturday is December 5th. That's this coming Saturday. The annual, and I don't know what number annual parade this is, but the Morro Bay Holiday Lighted Boat Parade begins at 6:30 p.m., Boats queue up down at the launch ramp area and then travel north to Target Rock area, turn around, go back. Some of them will do two laps. We've got about, I talked to Kathy Novak, who's helps with Rotary and the Chamber of Commerce, help organize the boats. They've got about 15 applicants so far. Typically, we get a good slug of them on Friday, and sometimes even Saturday morning, we get some last-minute entries. So looking at probably the usual 20-ish, 25 boats. Weather's looking like it should be good. It's going to be nice and cold, so it'll feel a little more winter-like, a little more Christmas-like. So come on down to the waterfront prior to 6:30 if you want to get a good spot and some parking. It usually gets pretty crowded, so be looking for that. A tie-on, an add-on to Ron, your announcement of the Trident Wind public forum. There's another public forum occurring on January 6th, no time set yet. This is for NOAA, National Marine Sanctuary Program, to come down. As you may recall, the City Council considered taking a position on the Chumash Sanctuary proposal a couple of months ago, and they did not take a position specifically on that proposal. They let the existing city position stand, but they directed staff to see about getting NOAA, N-O-A-A, not NOAA, the City Council person, in to come do a sort of a Marine Sanctuary 101 and how the process works. And what the different sanctuary things mean. So we'll be having that probably here in the Vets Hall, again on the 6th, most likely late afternoon, evening, so folks can attend.
What's the date there?
January 6th. So as more information comes out, keep an eye out on the city's website. You may have noticed the city's website's been pretty drastically revamped. There's a lot more news and announcements on there, so definitely once we get a time and location nailed down, I'm sure that will appear on the website. Past events, the triathlon was held on November 8th, Coleman Beach. From what I understand, approximately 500 entrants. By all reports, it was a success. I do not know who the winner was or what the winning times were, but a lot of folks came down. Like a lot of events down at the Rock, parking overflowed just about everywhere, which has been an issue. It continues to be an issue. It's a good issue and it's a bad issue. It's bad in that it impacts some of our local businesses, and folks can't find parking when they want to come visit some of those businesses on the waterfront down at this end. But it's good in that it brings in hundreds, if not thousands, of people. 500 entrants, I would imagine. They probably bring at least twice, maybe three times that many folks in support. So the event coordinators do their best to try and get folks, in this case, out over into the Triangle parking lot. To get that lot filled up, but there's only so much they can do to control the public, and we keep doing our best to try and alleviate the parking issues as best we can. Movie night at the Rock, as you know, as you already announced, Bill, huge success on the 13th. Two great surf films were played. My fear was we were going to have three times as many vehicles show up as we could possibly accommodate out there, and we're going to have to turn people down, and who was going to be the one standing out there on the road and say, okay, you can go, but you can't. I didn't want to be that person, but it turned out we waited about an extra 15 minutes for the last few cars to come down, and we finally had to call it quits, and about two or three other cars pulled up and looked like they wanted to get in, and we just had to get the movie going and had to move on. So it looks like darn near everybody, and I think they probably pulled off to the side and walked in anyhow, so I don't think we turned anybody away, and like I say, it's a great event. I am going to give a shout-out to all the folks as well, even though we're in the staff report, all the important folks that helped us out. And this is in no particular order or no particular importance. They're all important. We got a surfboard from Humi Surfboards, a membership from Surfline, the Surf Camera and Forecasting Company, a free membership to Studio Fitness for the surf program, a wetsuit provided by Patagonia Clothing Company. Todd Mazzini's Dockside provided the chicken and ribs, which sold out, I think, fairly quickly. Myers Drilling, of course, and Crane lifted the screen and held it in place. Krill Saltwater Taffy for popcorn, cotton candy, licorice. Rock Espresso Bar provided coffee, sold at the event. Miners Ace Hardware had water, sold at the event. Albertson had a gift card that we used to buy various supplies. Beach Hut Deli had food supplied for personnel for the event. Another assistance came from the police department. With some safety vests, light wands, and other equipment that they provided. Morbay Recreation Department provided us with parking striping out there in the lot and personnel the evening of. Slough County Sheriff's Search and Rescue provided that light tower and some personnel to help direct traffic and keep the peace, although no peace need to be kept. Everybody's pretty nice. And a special thanks to Hal Abrams and 97.3 The Rock for master ceremonying the event and broadcasting out on the radio. Again, by all accounts, a great event. So we want to thank everybody and make sure that those folks are recognized.
Excuse me. The one person I really would like to thank and I think was the integral part is Becca Kelly. She was she took this to heart, actually, and I think it wasn't for her, it wouldn't have been pulled off. I mean, I was just there to help on the financial side and our organization as a 501(c), but Becca really, really made this thing work, and so we want to give her a big thank you.
I agree, absolutely. Special shout out to Becca, and don't be humble. Bill LaFay helped out with the organizing and with this whole process as well. And Becca, yeah, she was a wreck the week before. It was pretty nerve-wracking this first time, but went pretty well. I think next time around it'll go a little smoother, and we'll get some things ironed out and hopefully won't be so nerve-wracking. But, yeah, thank you, Becca, for all your effort you did on that. It was a great event. November 16th, the City Council held the appreciation event at the Inn at Morro Bay for all advisory boards and bodies. Darn well attended. I think all the council folks were there. A lot of the advisory board and body members were there and recognized personally, given certificates of appreciation for all the good work that you all do and Planning Commission and everybody. It's unpaid, and it's a lot of time often for some of these boards and bodies, so the council wanted to reach out and give everybody a shout-out and appreciation for what they've done over the years and what they continue to do. And finally, it's just an announcement I'll bring up I received today. Adrienne Harris from the NEP is stepping down as executive director. She's decided to pursue more fully her new role as being a mother, so she's taking some time off. And Lexi Bell looks like she's going to step up as an interim executive director. And I want to thank Adrienne for all her help on the ad hoc committee, and hopefully we'll still see her around and she won't just disappear. But I want to thank Adrienne for everything she's done for us over the years. And that is the end of the report.
Hey, Eric, one thing is that could you highlight us on the boat that sank, which actually leads into, our next...
Why we need a boatyard?
Yeah, which basically we had a boatyard to be out of the water, but a boat sank, I think, the day after Thanksgiving, Eric. So it's still floating out here,
it
right?
It sunk, yeah. It was a 38-foot power boat down at the old fuel dock, what's now the Bayfront Marina. I want to say, and Polly might chime in, I want to say the boat's name is Tiffany. Oh, Gene, yeah. Oh, you're right there. Powerboat Tiffany, pretty tall powerboat there in one of the slips, about halfway down the set of slips there. I think it occurred Sunday night. The first thing I came into after a week off on Monday morning is like, hey, there's a boat sunk down here. We've got to go deal with it. So, it was resting on the bottom. Fortunately, it sunk fairly straight up, didn't tear anything up on the way down, didn't damage either boat on either side. Local salvage contractor Jim Sanders came and attempted over about a day and a half to get it raised. Wasn't successful, so ended up calling in the Coast Guard folks that got in charge of the whole effort, because once it turns into a pollution event, they take charge of it. We went down initially and surrounded it with boom and absorbent materials along with the Coast Guard. So they called an additional salvager, Vessel Assist, from down in Ventura, who came up, Paul Amaral. You guys, some of you may remember that name. He's a local here from going way back. He runs the Vessel Assist down there. He came and assisted Jim, and they got it raised yesterday. Yeah, yesterday, Wednesday afternoon. Found the cause was a transducer, through-hole transducer. Looked like it hadn't gotten any attention in a long time. The ocean side of the transducer rotted out and popped inside the boat and gave it a nice inch and a half hole in the bottom of the boat, and down it went overnight. So a reminder to folks to check your through-holes. Your valve may be closed, but that doesn't necessarily mean your through-hole's in good shape. So make sure you keep track of your stuff and keep it in good, maintained shape. All the fuel was pumped off. I heard estimates that they thought approximately 50 gallons of diesel fuel spilled. I'm not so sure about that. Gene, you were closer. But when it first sunk, for the first day, really most of the first day, it was just a light silver sheen surrounded, being encapsulated by the boom. At some point, I don't know if it was after some of the salvage efforts happened and the boat may have shifted, the hull started separating from the deck and a section opened up and some fuel started bubbling up that may have been trapped inside the cabin. And we had a fair amount of absorbent materials that were all absorbed with red dyed diesel fuel, and I'd probably say less than 10 gallons based on just the looking at it, the volume that I saw. But the vast majority
was contained within the boom. Then the cleanup crew came and absorbed all that stuff up, in addition to all the fuel in the boat. And the boat is now sitting, I think, waiting for an insurance adjuster to decide what they're going to do with it. And there it sits. It's stable. They've patched the hole, so knock on wood. Hopefully it stays on the proper side of the ocean.
Good work. Thank you, Eric.
Okay, so with that, our next item on the agenda is the, I'm sorry. Any questions for Eric in his report? Ron?
Eric, is the Harbor Department in a position to give the board as much detail as might be available relative to an update concerning the Coast Guard building or modifications thereof?
It is, so we do have that as a standing or as a future agenda item, and when something substantial enough comes along, we'll have it in front of the advisory board. At this point, we've been in, Coast Guard went kind of silent for 3 or 4 months earlier this summer when we had a little bit of flurry of activity. They've requested a little bit of information over the last 2 or so months. They're still interested. They're still moving forward. As far as I know, the money's still encumbered. They're working basically on an MOU between the city and the federal government to sort of entitle their process forward so that they have some assurance that the city's committed to coming up with some land that can help them build their facility. But to date, nothing new substantive to report.
Okay.
Okay, next would be, any other questions? Next would be the update from the Marine Services Facility Boatyard Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities and considerations and recommendations on the concept site plans as developed by RRM Design Group. Now, Eric, do you want to lead this or Dana as the chairman? How's that, how you guys want to work it? Pardon me? Okay. Okay, if you could start with the staff report.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to refer to a little PowerPoint I put together with my vast technical skills. So staff report included one attachment, which was sort of a black and white, but a little bit of color in the background, line drawing of RRM's two designs that they produced. Subsequent to that, RRM is filled in with a little more color and a little more detail, another set of designs that I'll get up on the board here. So we've got it. I've got them all electronically. I'm probably going to have to ask AGP at some point to come in, because we'll have to toggle between some things on their screen to get them on the screen. And I've also got them back here on a whiteboard or an easel if we need to gather around those and point and draw and do whatever we want to do on those. And I think Dana brought the black and white drawings as well in a larger scale. So just throwing that out there for information in terms of what we've got to work with tonight and how we want to proceed forward. So this is an update from the ad hoc committee and as well as RM Design Group and what they've come up with. Our purpose here tonight is to provide the Harbor Advisory Board with an update from the committee and the concept plans from RRM in order to continue to inform the city and the city council on the possible full-service boatyard siting here in Morro Bay and future use of the Triangle and Front Street parking lots. As you know, this exercise was sort of a mini master plan to see exactly what would fit in this parking lot and the Front Street parking lot in terms of boatyard, maritime museum, and public parking. It was an interesting exercise. We met with RRM on November 13th, the ad hoc committee, as well as some other interested parties, Larry Newland from the Maritime Museum, a few others, met on site, did a fair amount of walking around, measuring things, getting some clarifications, RRM getting clarifications from us in terms of exactly what we're looking for and what we're needing and what our ideas were. And then we took a break and went back to RRM's offices in San Luis, where they had their entire staff of about, there must have been 15 or so there, maybe a little more, from engineers, architects.
There were 6 tables, and there were at least 3 to a table.
Yeah, so 15, 20 folks from all levels, from design to engineering to architecture to administrative folks, divided up, and they were all tasked with, I think, an hour. They were given 1 hour. We gave them a brief rundown Mike Schrod and I, and mostly Mike, gave them a brief rundown of what we needed. They went to work. We all, the ad hoc committee members and others, just kind of lingered around and meandered from table to table and answered questions while they feverishly came up with their designs and draw them up on paper in a concept form, you know, a rough scale concept form. And they threw all those up on the wall, pasted them up on the wall, and we as a committee and the interested parties, the client basically, went through each one. Each one was given, they sort of appointed a leader for their team. I think there are five or six total, maybe. Explained what they did, what their concepts were. Have to hand it to them. Every team had some great ideas. Every team had little different elements that we all liked. So we kind of, say, buffet style, chose the elements and ideas that we liked, relayed that to RRM and their design folks, and then we retired for the day. And then RRM got to work back at their offices and started putting together what you've seen now and what you'll continue to see here in terms of really dialing in on the, in a more exact scale, to scale, how this all fits. And so what we have is the fruits of all that effort, and I think it's pretty interesting to see how it all turned out and how it all fit in. So what I'm recommending, what staff is recommending to the Harbor Advisory Board tonight, is consider the input from the ad hoc committee. Once I finish yammering on here, I'll let the ad hoc committee have a chance to provide whatever input they're going to provide. So I'm recommending that you take the advice and the input from the ad hoc committee, take public input if we have any, and then provide board input on site plans, including the design elements, if you've got ideas on the design elements and layouts and preferences, whatnot. And then also make recommendations to City Council. More generally, in terms of the recommended next steps or course of action where we think we may want to take this. Are we done? Are we hanging this up? Is this not going to work? Does it look like it's still worth pursuing? What are you recommending to City Council to move forward to into the future? This is sort of my disclaimer. It's noted these concept plans are just that. They're developed to inform the city and the city leadership with how all these things may fit into the Triangle and Front Street parking lots, along with the Maritime Museum and additional public parking. They're not working drawings to depict the course of action or plans the city's currently, you know, pursuing per se right here, right now. I've marched these plans around to some of the local business owners around down in the affected area, and I've had mixed reactions. Some have assumed that we're moving forward on this, and this is in the planning and design and implementation stages, and some understand that it's not, it's just a sort of a siting exercise to see how this all works. So this is just assisting the city to determine what the next steps are and whether the next steps are worth pursuing, and whether it's warranted to see how all these above elements may fit into the existing property, and how they may suitably fit in, and how this area may be situated for a boatyard, and whether it's worth going on forward with this. If we continue to move forward, if the city continues to move forward, there'll be a lot more design and planning and public participation and workshops, whatnot, involved, I would imagine, to move it forward. So lots of opportunity in the future to move forward should we go in that direction. So existing parking spaces, so this relates directly to the drawings themselves. Existing parking space in the inventory, which when we sat down with RM, we kind of defined where we want to draw the lines of what we're considering here, and when we bring the drawings up, we'll be able to see that. The existing parking in the design study area had 314 spaces. That did not include the triangle parking lot, the dirt parking lot. That was the existing parking spaces in space or in situ. So the triangle lot was not included at this point. RM came up with an option A and an option B. Both options A and B, the boatyard has 10 repair stalls varying in length from 35 feet to 65 feet, 50 dry vessel or trailer type storage spaces. I know early on we were thinking 100 was a number we were looking for. 100's not going to fit unless you take up a lot more space in other places to try and fit 100. So 50 fit in reasonably comfortably in the space that was left over. Option A came up with 351 total vehicle parking spaces, which is a net gain of 37 over what is existing. That 351 included the 10 that would need to be dedicated to the Maritime Museum and 8 that needed to be dedicated to the Maritime Museum. RRM did contact the planning folks in the city here and got the numbers based on the square footage and the usage of the Maritime Museum and the boatyard, and those are the numbers that they determined would be required per a normal permitting process. So net gain of 37 parking spaces overall. Option B, and option A, as you'll see, we pull them up on the wall here, option A had the boats. Option A and B pulled them both out at the same location, roughly between the South T Pier and Stack's Wine Bar, the fuel dock. Option A ran them straight across the street into the Front Street parking lot towards the eastern end of the lot, and then north and across the lot pretty directly into the boatyard. Excuse me. Option B pulled the boats out in the same location, hung a 90-degree left-hand turn to kind of follow the waterfront in front of GAFCO, and then 90-degree right-hand turn and out the parking lot and straight across in front of the Maritime Museum and then back into the lot, into the boatyard. So option B came up with 366 parking spaces, which is a net gain of 52 over the existing under the same scheme. So interesting that these numbers came out that way. So it appears that a boatyard, including dry storage, additional public parking, could result from redevelopment of this triangle and Front Street parking lots as conceptually laid out. RRM, I will say RRM, in terms of parking, did a lot of back and angle parking, which increases the parking inventory. They took some areas, such as the area between, if you're driving down the parking lot out of GAFCO and driving south, past the slips, past where the boats would be hauled out, where the road starts skinning down as you're approaching Stacks into that little, I don't call it an alleyway, but that little off-street area, closed that off to allow parking there. Reconfigured the parking in a more modern format to best take advantage of the space available. And both designs included a small plaza area that was identified by a lot of the design groups at RM at the southern end of the Front Street parking lot in front of the kite shop and as high as I am in bakery area, because that area was identified as kind of a bottleneck and a strange one-way, not very functional area, so they just put a generic plaza area on top of that as a potential concept for folks to consider. It does end up eating up about 7 or 8 parking spaces, so 7 or 8 spaces could be gained back if that plaza area were to drop off, but it did some creative work to kind of retool things and make things fit a little bit better. So as conceptually laid out by RRM, two possible options that do appear to adequately fit our boatyard as we had spec'd it out, and some dry storage and the Maritime Museum at full build out with a 40-by-80 building. So again, we're asking the Harbor Advisory Board to make recommendations, take this input and make recommendations to City Council with regard to the concepts and future efforts by the city in seeing how we're going to continue pursuing a boatyard or not. I would wish to thank staff. Staff would like to thank the Ad Hoc Committee Chairman, Dana McClish, and I think, Ron, you were previous chairman. And the committee members, Alan Allward, Ron, again, thank you, and Adrian Harris and Jeremiah O'Brien for all their hard work and dedication to this project. And RRM, even though they were paid, I would like to thank RRM and their whole design team, led by Mike Sherrod, for the great work they did. Turned out very nice. So if you can pull up the color versions, I've got a couple more on there on the desktop. I think I can toggle through them. One of them says color. There we go. So not huge scale, but fairly large. So that is the Front Street parking lot, triangle lot, and environs unchanged. Fairly old picture, probably a year and a half, 2 year old overhead picture, but for all intents and purposes, is how things exist today. This is option A, which runs the boatyard haul out in this area, runs the boats out across the parking lot, across the street into the parking lot, and relatively straight into the boatyard. As you can see, we have boatyard in this back corner. All the iterations that came at our RM pretty much had the boatyard back in this northeast corner as much as possible. It made the most sense from a design standpoint, from an impact noise and sight and everything to the houses in the back behind the hill here, and just from a logistical standpoint, it seemed to fit best. We have a building here that would be a covered sanding, grinding, painting area, small shop, restroom, and workshop in here, and then the boat dry storage would be these areas through here, Maritime Museum below here to the south, This is their build-out at 40 by 80 if when they get to that point of building out their full-size museum. Parking for the museum here. And this would be the area of flat work that's recently been completed by the city for the Maritime Museum, this being the little square building. And then their boats would fit in the various areas here. We know that the desire was, and the Maritime Museum folks and the city built this driveway across, connecting the parking lots in a manner such that it could take the travel lift across it. But when RM drew it out, it really didn't make sense to try and share a driveway because the boat yard needs to be secured and separate. And without having some kind of a convoluted gate system, it didn't make sense to try and share that. And from a space standpoint, kind of a hindsight 2020 thing, if you want to share them, we probably should have moved it over to the west because it just didn't make sense to for the boat haul out to come cranking around those corners to try and get in there. So we ended up with two driveways. Kills a little space, but it does make a little more sense. Angle in, you know, back angle in parking in various locations. The area that we closed off, I told you about, we used to be able to drive through here and then pull out in front of Stacks and up B Street, closing that area off. This would be the plaza area that a couple of the design groups identified as being a way to clean up that funny one-way area in here. Again, I spoke to a good amount of these business owners down here just to get their input. Mixed results. Some of them were dead set against it. Some of them loved it. Some of them were kind of neutral. So, again, this was more of an afterthought of way to clean this up and make some nice public plaza area. If we do go forward with this overall project, obviously this will come back into play and public input can be taken and maybe there's a way of doing this differently. But RM threw that in there and we liked it as the ad hoc committee, so we left it. And again, both haul-out areas go through here. So option B, same thing, boats haul out the same area. You'll notice, Neil noticed this, we were looking at this earlier thinking, something's wrong here. Well, these sets of slips are superimposed, flipped over a 180. RM took some artistic license, thank you, Gene, and rearranged these slips a little bit. Basically, this is this set of slips, but flipped over and then the end cut off. So we would potentially lose a slip or two, but again, this is conceptual. So hauling out at the same area, but instead of going straight across the street, hooks a left through the parking lot and then goes across the street and then does another 90. So a lot of 90-degree turns. Does gain more parking. As I said, I think we gained 37 in the previous iteration, and we gained 52 in this iteration, I think mainly because we gain a little more in the front street parking lot, existing front street parking lot. Parking over here in both iterations remains largely the same. There's not really a better way to do that kind of layout. And I think our ad hoc committee, when RM first gave us the first iteration of this, we all agreed that option A seemed to be the better way, even though we got less parking. This, a lot of time, you're going to spend time going through a parking lot either way, but it seemed better having it against the back end back here. And then use of our existing lot that we have the Harbor Festival in and our lift station for sea trains, which could be storage containers for the boat yard or Maritime Museum or both, or City Morro Bay and Harbor Fest. So still utilizing that space. So those are the two different options. Roscoe, if you could go to the other one on the desktop there, I think it's just marked black and white. And this is the one that's in your staff reports. So this was the first output that RRM gave us. It's more of a black and white over sort of a ghosted photo image overlay. So it shows you a little better from a just a pure layout standpoint, how it all fits together. Where all the parking is, how it lays out. So again, option A running across here, straight across Front Street parking lot and then in, and then option B doing a little bit of a different turn in front of Gaffco and then on back. With that, I can't think of anything to add. I guess maybe open it up to the ad hoc committee and Dan, if you folks want to add anything, and we can toggle back and forth and do what we need to do.
Yeah. The ad hoc committee, I pulled the ad hoc committee this week as soon as I saw these drawings. First of all, I'd like to say that RM, going to RM and doing this was actually a lot of fun, and it was a great way to get a whole lot of this work done. We were able to go through with these designers and planners and engineers and go over all of this, all the different drawings they did. And while they were doing the drawings, we went around and gave our input, just like Eric was talking about. But it was really, really, really productive. I mean, this was one of the most productive exercises we've done so far as design. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of tweaking between now and then, but it's just to see what will fit. And from what you can see in the triangle lot, we've got a maritime museum with expansion. Part of that's already there. And then there's an expansion and parking and a drive-through. And then we have a sizable 50-space storage yard for boats that can be brought out onto the ways and dropped off with a jib crane pretty easily, with not a long, you know, not too long of a trip between. And then the boatyard itself with a good-sized shop and storage, office space, and then restrooms, showers with restrooms there too, and its own parking spots. So that plan is showing the parking for both the Maritime Museum and the boatyard in it, which does not take away from parking. They're not going to be using those other spaces out in the public area. So that, you know, that's a good thing. The other thing that I want to bring up is the kind of the sphere of what they were using for work area. That's it, what you see in that drawing. The diagonal parking that you see, we all decided, wow, you could just keep going down the Embarcadero a bit with that. So, I mean, you could add more spaces going towards the rock on that power plant side of the road of the Embarcadero. So that was another thing. The plaza was something that all these architects and planning people, they couldn't leave that alone. They just said, you know, this is just, something's got to happen here. This is just not very inviting. You just got, you know, access here, and it's just kind of a cluster when they look at that. They just were all boggled by that, and they had to do something. So that was kind of a freebie. We didn't ask for that. They just threw that in, and for ideas, you know, for see what people want to do there. So, yeah, that is taking up a little bit of parking right there, and then they have the new access is just down the Embarcadero a little bit past where it is now, where the existing one is. It just moves, yeah, right there. So they put a pedestrian walk through there going down the Embarcadero on the land side, I'll call it, rather than the base, the Measure D side. As we've talked about before, staff has told us about the slips where the travel lift ways are. They're all slated to be redone, and so that works in well with what we have here as far as where the travel lift ways are, and then there's multiple configurations to redo those slips and add more, possibly also over by the T-pier. Let me think here. What else do we have? We also have that storage area. I think you brought that up. Up at the top by the stairs, that was kind of added in as part of their design, where they added all that space for the sea trains and cleaned up that area. So I talked to some fishermen. They said, you know, it'd be nice to have some refrigeration for bait. And I said, well, there's some sea train space right there. You could put a refrigerated sea train there. And then you have Harbor Fest storage there. So there's a kind of a multitude of things that could happen right there. Oh, yeah, right. Ron just brought up that we also threw in an extra restroom right above. You'll see that dark rectangle right there? Yeah. That is public restrooms, which are much needed all up and down the Embarcadero. So that was another good plus. So basically, like you said, the two options, you have A and B does have more parking, but the flow of the travel lift is much better in A. And as I polled members of our ad hoc committee this week. They agreed with their previous analysis that that was the most favored plan. So with that, are there anything the ad hoc committee wants to add, members that are here? Alan, is there anything you want to add?
Well, I'm not sure if we made it clear that the bathroom over in the boatyard area was going to be dedicated to the boatyard. Access was only going to be from the boatyard, and it was going to have a shower for people using the boatyard.
Correct. That's correct.
And the Maritime Museum as well, if future build-out of 40 by 80, it would be required to have full restrooms as well to service its customers.
Don't we have a, we also have a restroom over in that area by the stairs,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah,
the stairs. Yeah, in the back side of the lift station, there is one public restroom there.
Does that stay?
That stays.
The lift station can't go anywhere. That is.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's
right in there.
Real stationary, and they still have the waste cans there. And the reason for Eric was talking about the new existing entrance here that the Maritime Museum, part of this is already on the ground. They're just going to move their boats over. This access is so that emergency vehicles can come through here too, so that it pops back out onto the Embarcadero.
You end up Front Street parking lot, you have the entrance here. And you can have an additional entrance here where the boatyard boats would also go through, and then the existing one with a realignment, I think, over here, because you're sort of offset one side to the other with these two driveways, so all that would be realigned. So you've still got those three entrances there, and then just to the north of the museum as well. Okay, Alan.
Yeah, well, on the plaza, I think one thing I think they indicated that they were thinking about that was it was like a transition area to kind of encourage people to come in, and we've got the big museum down here, and so it's inviting people to walk along that side. And I'm not sure if on the other side, on the seaward side, if that area there is going to be also be something like that, landscaped or not. But the idea of the plaza was to create an inviting area for people who are on foot coming around the corner to go on down and proceed into that area.
I think
and then there's a center walkway going down on the Front Street side between all the parking spaces that comes over and hits where there'll be a crosswalk. If you can see that.
Yeah, you have a walkway through the center here.
That comes all the way down and then drops back down.
Kind of the existing sidewalk is. And I think what Alan was talking about was where we close off this. If it gets closed off, I should say where we close off. I'm going to be careful, don't give people a wrong impression that we are doing this. This is just the concept. This area here, in addition to getting to the bathroom, you get some public space over here. On the colored ones, it shows it is green. Obviously, turf and green probably isn't frowned upon, although if it rains cats and dogs, we may forget about the drought, but we'll put in synthetic turf. But it does open up some public space in here as well and gets things a little less industrial looking, a little more inviting looking.
So are there any more questions, comments? I think we can open up to everybody here on the
Do we
PAP.
Have anything more in the ad hoc?
I have a comment.
Okay.
Dana?
So we want to open it up to the rest of the board?
Or do we need to go to public comment first?
Or do we need to go public comment?
Should probably go public comment.
Yeah, okay. So do we have any public comment on this proposal? Seeing none, I'm going to open up any questions to the board. Gene, do you have anything to comment or state or say?
Yeah, do we have any idea how much this is going to cost?
Well, I think that at
I
this
point... I realize it's a concept plan, but you've got to keep some kind of idea of budget.
Well, I think that what we're trying to get is approval from the city council that this is a doable plan, that if we could get financing, and that's an if, that they would, you know, go along with this thing. Because there is some discussion that this was going to be just a parking lot. So that is what we're trying to get from the City Council right now, that we've come up with a plan, and we've master planned this thing from Front Street all over. What do you say, City Council, before we go into the financial aspects or anything like that?
Okay.
I mean, I know it may be the cart before the horse, but this is the first step. I mean, if they say, you know what, we're not going to do this, then it's a moot point for us to move forward.
I understand all that. I do have a question. Initially, the city acquired the triangle lot as a parking lot. That's the perception. And now we're moving it basically into a boatyard. And we have to convince the city that this is a good option for that area, and we are increasing parking at the same time.
Correct.
Okay. A couple other questions I have is I'm concerned about cross traffic with the little boats down by the J boom that will be next to the travel lift. I can see on a Sunday afternoon 30 little boats down there trying to get in and out, back and forth across that Embarcadero. And as a manager of 2 years in transportation engineering, I can see some cross traffic problems through there, and both on the Embarcadero and in the water itself. Those are some concerns I see.
Okay.
Dana, do you have any comment on that?
No, I could see that there would be some traffic, and I mean the travel lift also, but not like what you're talking about. I've witnessed that down in Santa Barbara. They do it. You see it on a Wednesday afternoon when they do their beer can races on Wednesdays, and on the weekend, it's part of a working waterfront. That's all I can say. You know, it's why people come here.
Okay. Alan, do you have any other thing to say? Or are you okay?
Gene said something I wanted to respond to. Okay. It has slipped my mind. I'll
okay.
see if I can come back to it.
Lynn?
A question on parking. Did I understand you, Eric, to say that this diagonal parking could be extended in front of Dynegy?
That's a concept we had looked at, where exactly the property lines are, where the public-private is. I'm not certain. Obviously, if it's Dynegy right up to the curb, it may be a little trickier, but it's a potential that if there's city right-of-way through there, that you could continue on with that. Instead of parallel parking,
right, instead
you use
of the
that back-in diagonal
which would
parking.
Give you... Which would double the number of spaces
it would
in
add,
there if that
it could significantly add spaces if that's property that we could utilize.
Yeah.
It was outside. This is outside of the study area, a little bit towards the north end there, but we didn't consider that as part of the public property. So at
okay.
this point, we haven't assumed that.
Okay.
Thank you. Alan, you your mind came back to you.
I retrieved my thought. Yeah. One thing that I believe the city manager mentioned at the meeting, he was there briefly with RRM. In the interim, since all these things started, the city has acquired a parking lot up on Market Street, I believe, and so that was going to kind of alleviate the need for as much parking as they had originally said they needed in the triangle lot. Eric, I don't know if that's
accurate. Yeah, let me expand on that. I'm glad you brought that up. So, as you may or may not know, RRM has also been hired or contracted to look at a promenade concept of roughly, I'm not sure which street to which street, but Market to Pacific, maybe further, or not Market, Dunes to Pacific. Anyhow, taking the west side parking on Embarcadero that's parallel parking, removing that parking, opening up the sidewalk into that space, and possibly even a little bit further into the lane, depending on how much space there is there, to open up a public promenade area to get wider sidewalks, get seating, other open space amenities out there. And so RRM has been contracted to look at that, as well as the Centennial Stairway area and the D'Estacio's restaurant area up above in the parking lot. The city's reacquiring the parking lot across the street from D'Estacio's. So all of this and as well as the city's working on the local coastal plan and the general plan update, and part of the local coastal plan and general plan is all the little specific plans, the waterfront specific plan and the beach street specific plan. There's several specific plans that address these near waterfront areas, the beach street specific plan being one where you go up and you've got Market Street, which is, you know, it's as broad as a freeway up there. There's room for angle parking in there, and you could get angle parking and increase parking capacity up there. So all these things are being looked at, and they're all kind of coming together roughly at the same time, this RRM work with the promenade and looking at parking, because the promenade will displace anywhere from, I think, 80 to 100 spaces, depending on what the length of it is up and down the waterfront. So should the city move forward with that, the obvious problem is going to be, and not just internally but externally from the Coastal Commission, where are you going to recreate that parking? Well, the triangle parking lot was the first place that was looked to, because we had acquired it recently, and that became an obvious place to point to. Hey, we've got extra parking capacity here, but now we're looking at maybe siting some boatyard and other things in here. Maybe we're not going to get all that for public parking. Well, can we make up? We've made up 37 maybe with this option A, and across the street from D'Estacio's, the parking lot we're obtaining there, maybe we're going to get another 20 or 30 up there, and with some creative redos of the Beach Street specific plan and some of the other restriping on the feeder streets in the Barcadero, we may be able to make up that difference that we need in parking spaces. So all these things are kind of swirling and coming around at the same time relatively in terms of consideration, and so our timing's good to be looking at this and for the city to be considering this. And Gene, to go to your point, you know, how much will all this cost? We don't know that. We did the market analysis. This was just to see what fits, and if it's going to be a competition between the Boatyard Maritime Museum or the Parking Maritime Museum. Obviously, parking, although we scaled back on the Boatyard in terms of the number of dry parking spaces from 100 to 50, public, just regular vehicle parking kind of became the, got the leftover space. We ended up with 37 spaces under option A and 50-some under option B, so can we recreate the extra parking we may need for that promenade or other uses as this town continues to grow, both in population and visitorship? We need parking. It's, as you've seen on a lot of weekends now in the summertime and during events, we're impacted. So we're trying to increase parking capacity wherever we can. So all this is coming together. I think the city will be looking at all this as sort of a package when it comes down to should we start moving, continue to move forward on this Boatyard and this promenade area idea. These things will all come into play, and the city will look at it as kind of a whole package, I think, so that we're going down all those paths pretty simultaneously, so they all feed into each other.
Okay, Alan?
I've talked to a few people about this plan, and I've heard some people comment that it would be better to have the Boatyard on power plant land and possibly have the travel lift further north in the bay, which I had originally thought would be a good idea too. But it turns out the National Estuary Program is pretty adamant that they want that this is their preferred place to have the travel lift located. So when you take that into consideration, it kind of says, well, if we're going to have it, this is maybe where it has to be. And so that was the feeling I got from the National Estuary Program.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I believe, you know, it's always been, and Gene can attest to this too, is that we were going to have the hall out there north of the intake and then everything across the street. Unfortunately, the zoning is not, and we don't have access to the land, and that's just a pipe dream. So that is really, I don't think, a option. And I think you hit it on the nail. If we're going to do this, and we're going to have a boat haul out facility here in Morro Bay, this is the place to do it. And we need to make a decision now.
Chairman?
Yeah, Dana.
Yeah, in regards to that, it was RRM actually had the design, and it was on that end. And then 3 or 4 years ago when I got on the board, and Gene and I and Brett, we formed the first committee for this, we looked at that, and we looked at this property back then. We'd always looked at this property because we knew that it was like, oh, any day it's going to be the city's. Oh, any day, every month it was, it was going to be. And then as we moved along and became an ad hoc committee, and then we had Lisa Weiss Associates do their surveys and came out with their report, the ad hoc committee came back, and we put together the criteria from that and what we looked at. And I want to just say the first thing on our list is city-owned or controlled property. Because talking to people from years past with other plans, Kathy Novak, for one, she was mayor back when they were looking at doing it once, and she said what killed it was land acquisition. And you have to go buy the land, you know, and that was what was going to kill it. But, I mean, you know, a lot of these expenses, you know, as you put together a whole proposal of what we're going to redevelop or how we're going to do this, then we're going to go and look at grant. We're going to look at funding for this. So even if it is some private land that you have to buy, I mean, that's part of the deal. But this was the number one thing that we had on here was city-owned and controlled property. The other thing is you have Measure D on one side where the travel lift and ways are. And on the other side, we're looking at an industrial site, you know, the power plant. You don't really get more industrial than that. And this was part of their property. And the timing, along with everything else that's going on, this plan is just showing how this can fit. Obviously, there is going to be a lot of tweaking down the road. And then to have this, that's how, you know, and if we can get this with the blessings of the city council and the city to look at this like, yeah, this is very doable, this is very viable possibility, then we can go start looking at grant funding. We can't really do it without having something. You know, this is our concept. This isn't the finished product, but this is our concept. And then we can start going from there. It's just one of the steps to get to that point. One more thing. Well, I guess I covered it there. Never mind.
Thanks, Dana. Okay, I think that you folks have done a great job. This is a great product and a great project, and I hope that we can... No, I'm not winding up. I'm just rambling as usual. I just hope that... as we move forward here and give our recommendation to the City Council, that they take this seriously, and I think you guys have done a great job, so thank you. Lynn?
Yeah, a question for Alan. You said that the NEP was adamant that they wanted the ways at the southerly end rather than where we originally talked about it up here.
No, why? not there, rather than down here.
At Coleman.
Yeah, at Coleman.
North of the intake.
That is their eelgrass, their baby, where it's the eelgrass is growing, and they're happy about that. And
what if the eelgrass starts growing here?
Well, there is eelgrass there, but it's just, you know, if you have to disturb something. They don't want any disturbing going on up here.
They don't want any disturbance here.
Yeah, I won't say.
Today.
They're not going to be. Yeah, they pretty much ruled this out down here. They said, no, never. I mean, maybe they didn't say it like that, but they said they really.
They really didn't like that.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But it was because of eelgrass.
Yeah, and that we would probably lose their support.
Well, you know, the thing is, is that, I mean.
That answers my question, was what they were concerned about. Thank you.
All right, Neil?
Actually, I think Dana has something to this question.
Yeah, I just want to kind of go back to that. And back when RM was doing this in 2008, that plan basically was stopped because the Coles Commission, along with Surfrider and a few other people, they did not want it there.
Right.
Now, we were trying to figure out a way, you know, 3 years ago, we were trying to figure out a way to make that work. And we got to the point, the ad hoc committee, like, this is the spot that we're looking at. This is the most viable spot. I know I've talked to some people today, too. I was down at Jerry's Marine. I showed them the plans and asked for, I mean, Jerry used to work at Gunther's back in the day. And he said the worst thing was when they closed that down and the city didn't allow, you know, another boatyard. There was a guy who wanted to do a boatyard there, but he wanted to add 20 years to the lease or something, you know, that he could stay there to make it viable, and it didn't work. So anyways, they brought up that too. Well, I thought it was going to be down on the other end. And I go, well, where are you going to go from there? Part of the problem was the travel distance on the Embarcadero. You're on the Embarcadero going up and then cutting over, or you're staying on the Embarcadero. Actually, you're not cutting down Coleman Drive, but you're going all the way down there. That is becoming more and more traffic now that we have the bicycle path and where there's been development down there. So that was one of the things. But it was because the Coastal Commission and, you know, different, it was, the Coastal Commission actually said that they would like to see it south of the South T Pier, or by the South T Pier.
Really?
Back then.
Right. Well, what happened, and if my memory serves me correct, is that the Coastal Commission created an endangered species when we had to mitigate the boardwalk, and all that land there off of Coleman became endangered.
Environmentally sensitive habitat.
Once that hit, all bets were off. I mean, trying to get that changed is almost an act of God. So, Ron?
I'm glad we're talking about all this, and I hope that as many of the public as possible are listening to this, because this is kind of a wrap-up. I mean, I shouldn't say a wrap-up. This is a consolidation of the issues that have been on the table for a really, really long time. And to put a bow on the lack of feasibility of a northern site, in addition to whatever the environmental concerns are from various parties because of the Esha land that's immediately north of the Dynergy plant, and whatever's on the other side of the street in Coleman, and the practical issues of running a travel lift a quarter of a mile south. Two people have stopped me since this was published this week and said, why aren't you going after whoever you are? It wasn't quite clear to me, but why aren't you going after the Dynergy property? It is my understanding, and hopefully folks are listening, it's my understanding from the city, various spokespersons from the city, that Dynergy has no interest in breaking up their parcel that's behind the walls and behind the gate. No interest whatsoever. Now, I'm just passing on what I've been told by city spokespeople. So, as far as I'm concerned, that's pretty much the bow on the whole thing, the whole issue of going north of this potential site that has been presented in the staff report and that Dana's been talking about this evening.
Point well taken.
So,
with that in mind, with all the discussion since... Oh, Neil?
So first of all, in general summary, I'd say that both of these plans are pretty exciting. As an avid daily user of this specific area, I see, you know, it working in general with some minor tweaks. The one thing I would consider in the effort to gain parking, I hope this area, and I know that the Triangle lot was supposed to be for parking only, and as Gene said, we have to convince the city to go along with this plan, and we do have a net gain of parking through this plan, but this is also a bottleneck. There's this huge thing outside of this picture called the Rock that thousands of people come to on a probably weekly basis, and they drive, and they all have to stop at that stop sign at Beach Street, and that back-end parking, and I don't want to nitpick because I know you guys said there's fine-tuning, but that back-end parking right there is going to be really interesting when the line is coming out of there on a summer day. And people are trying to back into those stalls right at Beach Street. That's either way, but just knowing what that traffic here, what that traffic looks like. I'm just saying that maybe this whole area doesn't need to be the solution to the city's parking issues. And if some other areas, as Eric was talking about, were looked at, if some, I mean, that represents, 10 spots, if those disappeared and maybe continued that plaza idea across the street over here by the restroom, and just kind of left that open and let that be street. you know, it might look nice. It's kind of a nice inviting area as you're driving into the Rock to have this nice, beautiful entrance, and then let the parking begin and let the functioning waterway work. And that's maybe one of my critiques, I guess, with just the functionality of it, knowing how that intersection, I park my car there every day, and I just see that every day. I do like Plan A because of, again, for traffic. And I'm not a traffic professional, I'm not an engineer, but just knowing the more exits out of that parking lot across there, seem as it is now, it seems to be beneficial. There's a pretty high level of traffic that goes in and out of that lot across the street. I don't know what we're calling that lot. Public parking lot is what it's listed as here. Yeah. But in general, I like this plan a lot.
And then, as you said, this is a conceptual plan. It's not a working document, and it's to be given to the City Council so that they can actually look at what they asked us to do, which was to do a master plan to see what would fit into the triangle lot, and we've given them that. And they have to come back to us and say, this is the direction we're going to go. Yes.
I just want to add a note about the back-end angle parking. So Caltrans and other jurisdictions are beginning to go to this back-end angle parking because it's you can pack in more than you can in normal parallel parking, and it's way more efficient than because at parallel parking you've got to stop. You're stopping traffic. Hopefully somebody doesn't stop right behind you because then you can't back into where you're trying to back into. So if they recognize what you're trying to do, and you've got to do the wigwam and get into your parking space versus the straight backing angle parking. It's much more efficient. And then pulling out, it's the guy in front of you and behind you has got you boxed in. Now you're trying to squeak your way out. You don't have that problem anymore. You're pulled straight out into the traffic. So it works much better. I recognize and appreciate what you're saying here because the existing parallel parking along here along the street ends about the gangway here. Just looking at the unfettered one here that I don't have up on the screen, that parking along the street, south-facing on Embarcadero, ends about the gangway along the street here. So, yeah, you do, by adding this back-end parking here, you have added some parking into that bottleneck area. And it, again, as Bill says, you know, this is just pre-concept, concept, an idea. Maybe the plaza area moves across the street and you gain the parking back on the other side. But anyhow, it's something to be considered, and it's obviously something noteworthy that might be worth taking some notes on. But I just want to say that about that angle and back-end parking, that's the way a lot of people are starting to go, and you're starting to see that in more and more places, and works out a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a deal-breaker for me, as long as the professionals looked at it and at least contemplated that high-traffic area. That's it.
And as one of the business owners pointed out to me, and I've used many times myself, I hate to announce it on TV because then everybody's going to know the secret. When it's backed all the way past Tognazzini's, you know, during an event, you can still sneak through that parking lot and often get past the traffic and then pull out in front of the stacks and get by a little quicker. So it's kind of an escape route that relieves some of the traffic as well. It's not a true, roadway, but too late. Cat's out of the bag. So yeah, if that little Scoochy area becomes blocked off, then you lose that.
Okay. All right, then. With that note, do we have any other discussion to talk to the ad hoc or Eric or whatever right now? If not, Dana, what would you like to do?
Well, I would like to get the Habs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do we have more discussion? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say we've talked about parking extensively. We've talked about the benefits of having the route because it's going to be a lot easier to drive the travel lift. But are there any other minor points that I can't think of any? I'm asking the board. Are there any other minor points on this design that maybe we ought to give a little bit of time to? Not the big ones. The big ones seem to be the parking and the location of the ways, mostly parking, but other things.
I have a concern. These commercial slips down here, of which I happen to rent one of these ones down by Stacks, and then the other row along there, the fishermen really need to have a loading zone in front of each one of those places so that you can take your stuff from your truck or your car to your boat, regardless of how crowded it is. You have, and right now there's a fire hydrant in the only logical place where you can do that. Guys end up parking in the driveway to the back entrance to Giovanni's, which sort of works, but they don't like that. So in the final plan, I'd like to see a couple of loading zones there in front of each one of those commercial slip ramps.
You know, I'm not sure, but it almost looks like they have a diagonally hashed out mark there that may be exactly that next to Giovanni's. I don't know how they can do that. Or maybe that's just to keep people from parking there.
Yeah, I think that's because it's their driveway. That's their back drive in there. Talking about this area here,
yeah.
I believe that's their driveway in. I mean, it's, certainly you could put in a loading zone in here somewhere.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's a gate.
Yeah.
But, no, that's a very valid point,
yeah,
Alan. I was going to, you know, I don't want to nitpick the parking right now because I think this is a conceptual, but that is something that we really do need to take into consideration.
She asked.
Okay.
One more consideration that I just wanted to bring up, and that was cost. You know, I'm looking at this when we were doing this whole charrette at RRM, going over all the designs, and, you know, you're looking at this, and I'm going, wow, I had the same question as Gene did. How much is it going to cost? And I've always kind of thought that as far as the boatyard itself, you know, it's always been our question behind designing it. Everything, and I said, well, you know, there's certain things that could be phased, parts of it that can be phased. You know, the office could be a trailer. I mean, if you go down to Santa Barbara, that's what they have right now. They've had it for years. It's a nice office trailer. Things like that. The dry storage, and I'll reiterate this, I've said it I don't know how many times, but this is a moneymaker. I mean, if let's just say $100 a spot. Well, there's $5,000 a month. That's $60,000 a year. So any concessionaire that would be leasing this from the city or however that formula works, they want that. You know, and that's at $100. You know, you could easily get more because this is where there's no power lines. So you have a specific crowd that really will pay for that. And that would be, you know, your 30-foot and under keel boats. Recreational boaters. The fabric building, you know, that can come. That, I don't think that's going to be a huge expense. The things that have to happen are the vessel clean-out location or, you know, a station for that has definitely got to happen. And then the ways, you know, those are the real important things, the docks for the ways and the way that's configured and the easiest path. That was another one of our criteria was that the yard be close enough to the ways that your travel wasn't going to be a quarter mile or more, or, you know, however. So those are some of the things that I just wanted to bring up again.
Okay, Gene?
Yeah, I'm looking at the plan here, and the distance between the South T Pier and the travel lift pier, if you want to call it that, it appears to be maybe only 40 or 50 feet clear.
That's what it is now. That's actually taken out. What we did was took out an existing dock, and that's the same footprint pretty much as what's there right now. Because I actually measured that back when we were looking at doing a diagonal off of there, and there's like 49, 50 feet between the end of the T pier and that dock.
So that doesn't change.
This is right here.
It's existing.
Okay, good.
Okay, Gene? Lynn?
To me, it just looks tight, but it was tight before, so I guess it'll be tight again. But this boat's more boats.
Coming out, but why is it drawn in
That's actually a gangway going down.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, yeah. I think if I were doing it, I would have shaded that in or something to make it look.
Okay, so you can come in and tie up there while you're waiting to get things settled, getting set up.
Exactly.
You
know, you drop your boat in and you bring it over to that dock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't Santa Barbara have the same setup?
You know, actually, Santa Barbara doesn't. They have the fat finger for your trailers, like this does for the waves. They don't have a ramp. You go down a ladder. I have video of it on my phone of a boat being launched. It takes no time at all.
No.
It's like two people, you know, captain and crew. And they actually have nowhere to tie up there. But they have a dock not too far from there, and they actually just kind of walk the boat over there. Or if they have a motor, they use a motor. But most of these guys don't have motors on their boats because they're racing. And they just kind of push it over there, scull it, and get over to that dock. It's not too far away, but it's the visitor's dock, actually, for the harbor. So, I mean, you know, that's a working waterfront. It's like they do what they got to do to make it work. We're being much more efficient with our design. But we also have current, so we need a place to tie up to right off the bat. And it's nice having a ramp rather than a ladder.
Oh,
you can take a dock cart down there and load up your boat.
Okay. Neil?
I would imagine with the T-Pier, a lot of boats around, that it really, that the current in there would be curtailed a good bit because of the structures.
Yeah, you can ask Alan about that. I mean, I've been in there and I've checked it out, and it's not. In some respects, it is a little bit better. There's a little bit of an eddy there, but you can ask Alan about.
Well, as you approach that area, coming in from the outside towards shore, you get about a boat length away from the end of any of those slips there, and everything changes. You know, suddenly one thing has been happening, and then it either stops or else it may even start going the other way a little bit.
Are you right here?
Where? I'm on this end. That's not my boat, but that's where I usually am.
Okay, that's where you are. Okay.
I think it's a nice place that if you're going to have to come in and tie and approach, perpendicular to the current, it's one of the better places in the bay.
All right. Any other questions on to Dana or onto this, Neil?
One more. Sorry, I'll make it short. When you were just talking about the lot, I was just my ears perked up when you were talking about $60,000 a year for the dry dock storage being a moneymaker. Is the city ever looking at the potential of managing that themselves, or would that be a concessionaire?
Well, we haven't gotten that far yet.
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far. I'd say that's...
As I say, the next step in this process is to give this to the city council, have them ponder it, and say, this is either a good idea or we don't want to do it. So... That's really what it boils down to. And so I think
that if they knew that maybe there was cash flow, like what the real cash flow was, it might affect their opinion on whether or not they do it. That's why I asked if that $60,000 would
I think that what we need to do, and I'll be honest with you, is that we need to lobby the city council once we make a recommendation. And once this gets on the agenda, for the city council, the people that are interested in making this happen need to go to the city council meeting, need to talk to the city council people, and we need to make sure that they understand the dynamics that are going on here.
Okay. All right. Dana, would you like to make a motion?
I think my friend here, Ron Reisner, is about to do so.
Okay, Ron?
I move to recommend to the Morro Bay City Council RRM Designs Mini Master Plan Concept Option A for the Triangle Lot, which includes a boatyard, boat dry storage, a maritime museum, and enhanced parking.
Do I hear a second? Okay, I have a first. Ron has made a motion. Lynn has seconded it. Do I hear any more discussion? Eric?
So, just clarify, recommending option A. I don't know if it's an a change to this motion or a different motion, is the advisory board also wanting to make a broader recommendation on next steps? Are you going there on, or is this just part one?
I think we got to do this first.
Okay. Apologize. I'll butt
no,
out.
No.
Okay. So any other discussion on Ron's motion? Okay, so hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed?
Nay.
Okay, so we have six ayes, one nay. And so that's it. Okay, Ron, you have a second motion?
Well, what the advisory board has discussed this evening is that a next step would be, and you, Mr. Chair, actually made it quite clear, that the city council needs to express some opinion or needs to take some position relative to the potential utilization of the of this property in this manner, in order for the boatyard haul-out concept to move forward, in however that might be. I'm not in a position, I don't think, to, I am not in a position to do more than, I guess we could do it through a motion, suggest to the city council that they take a position.
Well, I was at the city council meeting, Eric, and what they asked us to do was to do a mini site analysis, which is what we did. And we're presenting this back to them, i.e. through a staff report by you, with our recommendations through the ad hoc committee. And here's our recommendation, how we can increase parking by 37 or 51 slots and put these elements in the triangle lot. And we need you to say yes or no. I mean, the city council. They need to make a decision. I mean, that's really our next step.
So to clarify, in recommending option A, then, am I to assume, are we to assume that the Harbor Advisory Board is also recommending the council continue pursuing next steps? Because that's the next question that
yes,
I have.
Yes, that's correct.
Option A, okay, option A looks great. Well, now what? Do we continue next steps? Do we move on? The next step was, you know, as we spoke to the council a few months ago, we talked about true financial feasibility. We did a market analysis through Lisa Wise, and we have what we believe may be a gross revenue generation.
So
it's not a feasibility, financial feasibility study.
Right.
Before we do feasibility, we went
right
to this.
Yeah.
So are we recommending going on to that next step and
that's
continuing
correct
on pursuing this process?
That's what we need the city council to make their recommendation. Your next step now is to do a feasibility study, given this mini site analysis, come back to us with it. That's right. Yes, Lynn.
Well, with that being the proposal, would it the city council would not be able to come back and say, please explain more about aspect A, aspect B, or present questions to us that we don't understand C, D, and E, if you're simply asking them to give you a yay or nay as to the next step forward?
Well, since this is just a conceptual plan, it's not a working document, they can make comments, and then we can take it from there. But their actual action to us was to do a conceptual mini plan, and that's what we have done.
Yeah, does it all fit?
Yeah, I mean, does it all fit?
And I'm not going to second-guess or purport to say what council questions may be, but an issue may be, well, no, we want more public parking out of that triangle parking lot. You've eaten too much up with the boatyard and the Maritime Museum. That may be their position. I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Right.
So we've done
exactly
what we're tasked to do, what will fit in there. And by rearranging parking and squeezing things and doing some creative thinking, we've managed to get the boatyard that we think we need and the Maritime Museum as it's designed and planned out and thought out, and some extra parking. Council may be happy with that and say move forward. They may say, we want more public parking out of that because this promenade is going to eat up this other stuff. So that's was our whole charge, and that's why we're doing this. So I think we're in good shape with what we've got. We've got the product they need to make a decision to move forward or not with it.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, our work is not even started, really, Lynn.
Well, no,
I know,
I'm just saying that it seems like a rather closed-end proposal that you're giving them.
Well, you know, the thing is I think we have to.
That's a good idea.
Well, you know, again, we've been working on this for 20 years. So we've got to give them, I think, a close yes or no, period.
Oh, but you don't want to.
Well,
I disagree with that. I keep hearing that same comment over and over again. It's like, it's either this or nothing. It's like, well, baloney. I mean, you know, how many times did we try to go to the moon? It's just like you just keep trying until you get something done. It's just a matter of how much you want to get something done. Correct.
I think it's sort of good.
We were asked to an RFP went out. We hired a firm. We worked with the firm. We gave them our criteria, and they came up with a plan according to what we talked about. And here it is. And then
do they want us to go forward and take the next?
Well, so Lynn, I have a question for you. So do you think that the motion accomplished what you just said? Because if it didn't, and Eric seems to have some question about that, then what else?
It does not sound like it would accomplish that.
Okay, and the motion assumed, and you know what the first three letters of that say, so... the motion assumed that the council would take the opportunity of the board's recommendation relative to a concept option A to deliberate.
Okay.
But assume is a pretty important word there. That the council would deliberate, the Harbor Advisory Board and the public, I think, are pretty much on record, and I think that the council is pretty aware of that they're looking for the council to make some sort of commitment. And I don't mean a commitment to a particular, to, you know, 4 cubits by 9 cubits by 6 cubits, but a commitment that yes, we will continue, the city will continue to develop the concept of a boatyard and a haulout. But if you think that we need to take another step after the initial motion, by all means, you've got my attention.
Perhaps I'm in the minority. I mean, it sounded rather closed-end. Approve or disapprove this, and I don't think that's what we want to do. We want further discussion with the City Council on the plan to see how we can make it work. And if everybody thinks that motion, as stated, will get that response from the City Council, then fine.
I think that Eric is going to be our advocate. You know, Eric is going to be our advocate in explaining to the City Council really what we're attempting to do. And I don't think it's, you know, again, I may be being too simplistic in the closed end of it, yes or no. I think there will be some discussion, quite a bit. So I think that we will be able to accomplish the goal that
Polly, can you read the motion back by any chance?
That's a good idea, Neil. The Harbor Advisory Board recommends City Council accept RRM design. Is it accept? What's the second word there? RRM design master mini plan option A, the triangle lot with the boatyard, dry storage, maritime museum, and enhanced package.
Parking.
Can't read my own writing. So there's just the word, what's the word after City Council?
That it consider.
Consider RRM Designs Master Mini Plan Option A, triangle lot.
So it's considering.
Is that, you think that I mean, considering is not a yes or no. It gives them a lot of options.
Perhaps one of the things I'm having a problem if the differences between A and B are actually pretty minimal. It's the route of the travel lift, and so the number of parking spaces that you lose or gain, rather.
15.
Right, but those are very incidental things. I think what we want to ask them is to consider this plan and comment on it.
I think they'll comment on it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I do, again, all of us here, I highly recommend, and anyone else out there that supports this plan or has concerns or considerations to go to the City Council meeting when they put it on the agenda.
Yeah, can we ask Matt if he's got comments?
I'm not sure we really want to ask Matt right now. I mean, unless he wants to come up and make any public comment on this. I mean, you've heard what our motion is, and so I guess, do you feel that we have done what you've asked us to do? I guess that's really the question.
For me, and I can't speak for all of council, but okay. Looking at it, when we look back, we talked about a market analysis and feasibility study, and we do this preliminary, will it fit? I do believe as an advisory council, you've accomplished everything that's been set before you.
Okay.
I mean, and your recommendation, your vote, and then it's going to come to council, and then I think you're absolutely right to say if anybody has any adjoining concerns or dissenting or agreeing with, then now's the time. And this is a big thing. It's been going on for a few decades, and so we just have to see this process through. I don't think, as you're saying, there's no magic panacea that's going to just cure it all. We have to go through the process. So all the concerns you're bringing up, I think they're very valid, and we just have to see the process through. Because, like as Dana was pointing out, the funding issue is, you know, we have to get through all these first steps before we go to that next one. So I'm, as council sitting here watching, I'm completely fine with hearing what you're saying as it would come to council.
Okay.
And if I can add, and maybe this will help Lynn, or maybe it'll make it worse, I don't know, but I'm going to throw it out there anyhow. We're not asking council, do you like this plan? Do you like this layout? Do you like the plaza, the back end parking? We're not going, this is just, does it fit? And how much of the things do we want in here? How much do they all fit?
Okay.
As this thing moves on, if it moves on and continues on in the future, there's going to be a lot of other design work and a lot of other layout options and things happening where property boundaries are going to be figured out to the exactness. I mean, this is relatively close to scale, but it's not exact, where other parking may open somewhere else or other parking may disappear depending on where things are and where easements are and things underground. Who knows? There's lots to happen here. So this is just, does it fit in a conceptual form, and does enough boatyard, does enough maritime museum, does enough parking fit that we all want? And is this an adequate amount of each, and is it worth continuing on moving forward? It's not pinning council into the corner of, do you like Plan A versus Plan B? They may like Plan B better and like that option better, and where it takes a different route to get more parking. I don't know. But it's just from an exercise standpoint, does it fit? And I think we've determined, yeah, it fits. Is it enough of what you want? Well, that's for the council to determine if there's enough of what they want in there to fit. Did that help? Did that make it worse?
That's fine.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Bob.
Lynn, the reason preferred concept option A to concept option B is I do think that there's a significant difference between the two of them, and it lies in the 90-degree turn that a loaded travel lift would have to make right in front of GAFCO.
I totally agree. I think that route would be terrible.
Okay.
Absolutely. I would not want to be driving a travel lift through that turn and then having to go up and make another one. It's awful.
Okay. Alan, did you have something? No?
As a matter of fact, I did.
As a matter of fact, you did.
Well, and I don't know if this is appropriate or not. You know, I tell Ron I'm just a fisherman. But I noticed we had a dissenting vote, and I was curious if we could find out what Gene's reservations are.
I like a lot of the ideas in. I like the plaza. I think that's a great idea. And I know that some of the motel owners down there and the fishermen, French Bakery may have some problems with that. But I think that's a great idea. It gets pedestrian away from vehicular. And I think that's a really good idea. I just think the rest of it is you're just trying to cram too much in too small of a space. And I see a lot of cross-traffic problems, both on water and on shore. So.
Okay, then. Hearing no discussions, the motion passes. Eric, you'll put this and get this to City Council and hopefully on the agenda as soon as they possibly want to see it.
Yeah, we'll get it in the hopper and get it routed to the council as soon as we can. I mean, it's only one December meeting. It's going to be a month or two, I would imagine, based on the workload we've got now. But this is important, and we'll certainly keep it moving.
Okay. All right. So, Alan?
When we send this to council, would it be appropriate to include the minority position and maybe it would leave some room to consider a traffic analysis along with a financial feasibility analysis?
I'm sure it'll all come out.
Okay.
I mean, you know, again, as Eric stated,
we just need to get this in front of the City Council, and I think there is going to be a lot more discussion, Alan.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
All right, so with that, thank you very much, everyone. This was a great job, and thank you, Dana, Ron, and Alan, and Jeremiah, who just left. So the next thing on our agenda that we have is the update from the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee on committee's recent activities. Neil?
Okay, I'll be brief. But this is very important stuff, so please pay attention. The Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee met on November 23rd, and we discussed short-term goals. With the six-month review of the 2015 budget coming up on the 15th of December, we want to fully support the Harbor Department in any way possible. We need to discuss with the Harbor Department specifically what we can do to help the Harbor Department in this matter. We would like to put those action items on a calendar. The Ad Hoc Committee is currently developing its 2016 calendar, and we would like to support the Harbor Department in its future budgetary planning for 2016 and 2017. We would like to see the Harbor Department's budgetary calendar for this period so the Ad Hoc Committee is prepared and able to assist the Harbor Department during the budget process in any way that they think we would be useful. As the Ad Hoc Committee has previously discussed with the Board, we are very interested in how the City's current cost allocation plan applies to the Harbor Department. The city recommended waiting until the management partner study was implemented before reviewing the cost allocation plan. However, because of the unknown timing of this implementation, we feel that we will need to address this issue in January, where we hope to give an update to the committee. Harbor Advisory Board. I apologize, not the committee. The committee continues to be focused on an appropriate and necessary, committee continues to be very focused on appropriate and necessary funding, both short-term and long-term, of needed harbor infrastructure repairs and construction, which is referred to by the city of Morro Bay as the Harbor Accumulation Fund. And that is, in summary, what we focused on in our meeting. Again, this was short-term, pretty much short-term planning, so within the next few months. And I don't know if anybody else on the committee has anything to add at this time. Feel free.
No, that was good, Neil. Any questions for Neil or us? Okay. So, Eric, you're going to probably be able to, as we talked earlier this morning, get us some preliminary budgetary data sometime in December?
Yeah, I'd like to. As I spoke to you, I think I've spoken to Neil a bit as well. You know, we're starting to warm up to mid-year budgeting and mid-year adjustments, and then come January, February, March, somewhere through there, we'll start into regular budgeting, so they're both obviously tied together. So, yeah, I'd like to sit down with your committee here and sometime within the next few weeks and get you the data you need and kind of lay the process out and the timeline out and start figuring out what sort of tasks and deliverables you might have to help out the process.
Well, you know, the one thing that, you know, when we looked at the capital outlays, you know, one of the things that I still am a little fuzzy about and I think need some clarification to at least myself, maybe Ron and Neil can help me, but also to the whole board and to the public, is do we have the $225,000 for the Beach Street slips? Is that money that we can write a check to if we went ahead and did that? I'm a little confused.
Yes, we do. Okay. We've got that for both. I did it over two different years.
Right.
It's not technically from a CPA standpoint encumbered, but it's earmarked. I call it an earmark. So yes, those amounts for both the north and south citizen slips have been earmarked.
Okay.
Since the boatyard started focusing in that area, we kind of put a halt to it, as you know, because
right.
From what you can see, we're going to be maybe redesigning around that. And if the boatyard process moves forward, I'll continue on. Probably at some point, if the council gives us continued go-ahead direction, we'll have to zero in on that area a little bit more and figure out that's exactly where the ways will be, and then really sort of tinker toy design around where the ways would be to where if the boatyard, or maybe when the boatyard, I'll think positively, when the boatyard gets built, we can pull out a section of slips that won't just tear out everything we just put in and then hopefully recreate those somewhere else and make it work. So I'm just kind of holding off on that. But, yes, to answer your question, it's earmarked and
all right.
There.
All right, well, we'll talk. So thank you. Thank you, Neil. So that's the end of our meeting here. We have no new business. And declaration of future agenda items. So, you know, one of the things, as Ron mentioned, was the Coast Guard update. And I know that you don't really have anything to report, but, you know, I'll talk to you later about that. Does anyone have anything for future agenda items that I think have come up that we want to make sure that's on the agenda? How about the grant? Did we resubmit the grant for the launch ramp, the $1.75 million?
Yeah, that was re-upped back in July, August, when we got notification that we were rejected.
So when are we going to know whether or not they accepted or that they're considering?
That's typically, we should know. So the way that process works is, the grant application is in with Department of Boating and Waterways staff. If the Barton Boating and Waterways director and staff have to elect to move it forward, at which point it gets into their budget that eventually goes to their director and then goes to the governor. And then, assuming the governor approves the budget with that earmark in there, then the commission has to approve the project, and then the funding's there, and it all comes together. We will know probably in March, April, assuming the governor's budget is on time, which the last couple of years they've been on time. They've been okay with it and getting it done by June or July 1st. So we'll probably know much kind of in line with our city's budgeting process in mid to late spring. By checking with their staff to see if their staff has inserted it in as a request into the governor's budget. If it doesn't get past staff into the governor's budget, it's not going to be there.
So do we have any correspondence at all with?
Yeah, we have been.
Okay.
And I can talk to you offline about some other ways that we may be able to enhance that.
Okay. All right. Do we have anything, or do we just want to see what comes up in January now? This Marine Sanctuary meeting that's going to be on January 6th is the day before our harbor meeting. So I guess that's just what it is. Okay. So, well, I don't hear anything that's... Oh, I'm sorry. Neil?
I don't know if this necessarily needs to be a future agenda item, or I'm not sure, pardon me, if this isn't the proper way to do this, but I just wanted to maybe go on record and request that any updates on the Promenade project be... maybe included in your staff report, if they weren't.
Yeah, I could put it in status report. There's nothing. I don't know the exact timeline that RRM is on for any deliverables on that. I suspect they're a little further. I mean, if there's something there,
it doesn't have to be.
I will add status of State Park Marina and city's involvement. We did, and I probably should have put this in status report. So maybe. Take some license here and move back to status report. We did receive a letter from State Parks. You know, the city requested that the city of Morro Bay take on the RFP and concession for the Bayside Cafe, Bayside for the cafe RFP process.
Right.
State Parks just sent us a letter, sent the mayor a letter saying essentially thanks, but no thanks. They're going to keep it. So we're looking at taking that to city council in closed session next week. To see where they want to go with it. So I may have something to come out of closed session to route back through the Harbor Advisory Board, depending on what direction the City Council wants to go with it, when that's a future agenda item we have on there now.
That's a shame. I mean, to break those two things up.
Yeah.
So where does that leave us then? We still have the operating agreement for the marina then till, what, 2000 and what?
2022.
Okay. And in order for us to do something, we want to. Are we still talking on a longer term lease for that, or not? We don't know yet.
Don't know yet, and I don't want to get too far off in the weeds talking about it because we're not agendized.
Okay.
But.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, after next week, we may have something more to report or something to bring to the Harbor Advisory Board.
Ron.
Mr. Chairman, would you mind if we just rattle down through these seven or eight items and determine whether they should stay on the list or not?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So the...
just go to the minutes.
Declaration of future agenda items is the Friends of the Harbor Department activities. I don't necessarily think it needs to be on the future agenda items. I think that should be something that... we can discuss as things, as announcements. So I don't think that.
I think that's a remnant from probably before the Friends were physically formed and we were up and running. It was, hey, how you doing with the process? How you doing with the process?
Okay, the conditions of the restrooms on the Embarcadero, I definitely think we need to keep that. I've actually had some discussion, actually from the discussion that you and me had. And I have actually taken some lead in maybe seeing if we can get something done on this. So I want to leave that on there. The review of the commercial fishing vessel rates on city docks.
Are we just about, I mean, until the next master lease review, city's next master lease review comes around? Are we pretty well worked our way through that?
Yeah, I think we're done with that until the master fee schedule, which this year's master fee is going to go prior to the budget, as it should be. So come springtime, we'll be looking at master fee as well. So that'll
yeah.
A little premature.
Right, okay. Status of the State Park Marina and city's involvement. You just discussed that with us. So we'll leave that on right now. The Coast Guard building location plans, I'm very, very, very interested in what's going on with that.
And I can contact the Coast Guard folks between now and then and see if
we have something.
They have something that they can.
And inspecting marine sanitation devices in all vessels in the Morro Bay Harbor. It's a big one. I mean, that's a any consensus with anyone of we want to ever tackle that one of these days?
Yes.
Okay. And planning for the power plant property. I think it should be kept on there, but as from what Ron said, and I do tend to agree with him, I think it's a moot point right now.
That's what we're told.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a waste. It's rhetoric, unless something's different. So I think we should eliminate it. So is there anything that we want to put in here that is more pertinent that should be discussed? I mean, we formed two subcommittees on both eelgrass and on marine sanctuaries. Those are not here. So do we want to even consider that for future agenda items?
Yeah, do we want to add on the eelgrass ad hoc as a reoccurring?
Yes,
yes.
I understood that Bill already said
that's just I can just take by board consensus on the eelgrass and the sanctuary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like we did with the boatyard and the other ones, we'll just have them standing committees. And if I've got something big to report and something to write up, we'll write up. If not, it'll be a simple one-liner and oral report we'll be giving.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
So anything else? So nothing right now?
Lynn?
I have a comment. Yeah. We have this item about inspecting marine sanitation devices. We also, it's kind of in the same area, talked at one time that defining or somehow clarifying in the Muni Code who is a surveyor who can do surveys for this and substitute for the Harbor Department. That has been discussed and brought up by some city citizens. And I wonder if we should proceed with doing some kind of a definition there or a clarification.
I thought we did that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we did a while ago.
We go back. I believe we did. I mean, on the surveyor part. I believe we did. I mean, we can go clarify. We can bring that to
attention.
Let me
go back and look. My recollection was we grappled with it. And what I think came to the conclusion was leave it as is and leave it up to the Harbor Department to determine who's acceptable and who's not.
Okay.
Sound right?
Yeah, I thought we did it. Okay. No, hearing nothing else, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, that was the motion was put forth by Dana, second by Neil. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Thank you.